Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
O'clock hour underway here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get you highlights from around the league, including local kid done well. We do that coming up in about 15 or so minutes here on 610 Sports Radio. We want to give you an opportunity to win $25 to Diametric. So when you hear this,
hey, ass face,
be caller number, let's go with caller number 7, 913-576-7610. That is the telephone number. When you hear that drop, be caller number 7, and you'll win $25 to Diametric. Well, each Friday, we make predictions on how we think this game is going to unfold and how this team is going to win their game on Sunday afternoon. And then we take a look back at it on Monday morning at this time. We call it Chiefs Win If, Chiefs Lose If, and we do it every single Monday.
Chiefs Win If is brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
All right, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at what Josh said first.
Chiefs Win If, they get 14 in the first. Start fast and put them away early.
That is not the case. The Chiefs did not get 14 points early on in this one in the first quarter of the game. In fact, the Chiefs got 7 in the first quarter of that game, so he did not come out on top. How about his second one? Did he get this one?
Chiefs Win If, they rattle Carr. 2+ sacks and at least 1 interception.
Well, Josh nailed that one. He is a regular Nostradamus. 2 sacks for Derek Carr yesterday and 2 interceptions. One of those returned for a touchdown. And so Josh is 1-for-2. He's batting .500. Kramer!
Kramer said the Chiefs would win if they score in every quarter.
Did they score in every quarter yesterday?
I believe they did.
Did the Kansas City Chiefs score in every single quarter yesterday, Kramer?
I got to check real quick there, Bob.
Yes, they did. They accomplished the goal, so you are 1-for-1. All right, what did I say?
Bob said the Chiefs would win if they average 5 or more yards on first down.
This is an interesting one because for the majority of the game, the Kansas City Chiefs were not having good yardage on first down. They did finish the game, though, with 5.4 yards per play on first down. And they got over that hump because Travis Kelce had that big 47-yard reception. Because at halftime, the Chiefs were averaging under 5 yards a play on first down. So Travis Kelce got them over the hump on that one. So that is our look back at the Chiefs Win If yesterday, and we got them for the most part pretty correct in yesterday's game. So that is Chiefs Win If, and we will do it again on Friday here on 610 Sports Radio. We mentioned that big play by Travis Kelce yesterday. There was a couple of other plays, in that game yesterday where Travis didn't make the play, and there's one at the beginning he didn't make the play. There was one in the end zone you thought maybe he could have had for a touchdown. There was a couple where he didn't make the play. And Andy Reid was asked about that after the game yesterday. And really like wondering, are you comfortable with what you're getting out of this offense right now? Because all the plays weren't there. This is what he had to say about that.
Dealing with some elements now, and you've got to work through those things. But there was enough good there that if we start critiquing a couple bad ones, and we're we're missing out on some pretty good ones.
And Andy's right about that. I think sometimes as fans and especially as media, we tend to focus on the negative as opposed to the positive that was taken out of that game yesterday. And there was a lot of questions asked yesterday in the postgame press conference, which I was in with Andy Reid, about plays not being made and the offense seeming out of sync yesterday. And I'm looking at the scoreboard. I'm like, wow, they scored 31 points basically from an offensive standpoint. They had, 7 points scored by the defense and 2 by special teams. So that's 9. That's where you get your 40. They still scored 31 points yesterday as an offense. And folks are in there asking about plays that didn't happen and plays that didn't get made. And is this offense out of sync? And all I could think of was they really didn't have the opportunity to make the big play yesterday because a lot of their drives started on short fields. Their first drive for a touchdown, 11 plays, 46 yards. That was their first drive as a touchdown because they were put in such a position where they didn't have to make spectacularly big plays for this offense to cash in. They could go out there and take advantage of the short field. And I think that's something that they did yesterday that we haven't really seen a lot of with this offense is, take advantage of what the defense gives you. And they haven't had an opportunity to take advantage of what the defense given them because the defense hasn't given them that much this year. And so when you take over on your first two drives of the game are on the Oakland 47 and the Oakland 24, those are your first two drives starting on your opponent's territory. Yeah, you're not going to go on the 98-yard drive, and you're not going to have the 50-yard touchdown pass, and you're not going to have the 60-yard slant route or anything like that because you're in a position where you don't need to have those type of plays because you're so close to the goal line. I mean, you go and look at it. They started another drive at their own 40-yard line, 2 drives at their own 34, another drive at their own 36-yard line, and a couple of drives at the end of the game, the one that they went for 9 minutes, and that drive started at their own 25-yard line, so that was a nice long drive. But the Chiefs were playing with a short field for the majority of the game yesterday. That's why we didn't see the fireworks. That's why you didn't see the big plays where you went, ooh and ah. They played a style of football yesterday on offense that was complementary to what their defense was giving them yesterday. And that's why I was impressed with this win. I was impressed with this win because the defense essentially dictated this entire game for both the Chiefs and for the Oakland Raiders. The Chiefs defense went out there and played at a level like we haven't seen before. They created turnovers. They created mismatches. They created touchdowns. They created points. They created short fields. Like, they did what they had to do to a level that we haven't seen out of this defense all year long. And that's why when people are in there asking about plays and, the offense looking out of sync at times, I'm thinking to myself, well, they did what they did because that was the situation that they were presented, and they took advantage of those situations. So I think at times folks look at things the wrong way and wonder the wrong things as opposed to saying, man, your offense did a great job of taking advantage of what the defense gave them. How much did the defense set you up to go out there and perform well? They're saying, well, I think the offense looked out of sync yesterday. I don't think the offense looked out of sync yesterday. I think the offense looked really, really good for the situations that it was given, showing it can score on a short field. It doesn't need the big play to score. Showing that you got a little bit of a running game with Darwin Thompson yesterday. Showing, you can rely on Travis Kelce, 5 catches for 90 yards. He doesn't have to have the big spectacular play. Taking advantage of penalties, taking advantages of turnovers. I thought that was a really well-played game yesterday by the Kansas City Chiefs in all 3 phases of that game. Coming up, it was a wild day, to say the least, around the National Football League, and one local kid really stood out. We do Sproles in the backfield. We do it next.
Fesco in the morning. Then we have Merrill.
What are you saying about Rochester?
Fesco in the morning presents
Sproles in the backfield.
What a great day around the NFL yesterday, man. There were so many compelling football games, not just here in Kansas City, but all over the league as well. There was a lot of good games yesterday, and I think the biggest game of the day was obviously the one, a lot of us were kind of focused on. What's going to happen to the Baltimore Ravens? Are they going to go down? Are the Baltimore Ravens going to finally lose a football game? Well, no, they didn't lose a football game yesterday, but I'll tell you what, they were pushed to the wire. They were pushed to the end. And had to have this happen.
Justin Tucker for the winner from
49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough. And the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens take down the 49ers. And this house is on fire. As the Ravens celebrate at midfield, the fans on their feet, exuberance. In a game between a 10-1 team and a 9-2 team, the day ends with two 10-2 teams.
That's Jerry Sandusky on WBAL in Baltimore. The Ravens with the game-winning field goal, and I think are really starting to assert themselves as the number one team in not just the AFC, but in my opinion, in all of the National Football League. They are that good, they are that impressive, and they are that fun to watch. The Baltimore Ravens beat San Francisco by a score of 20-17. Another game on the day that I think a lot of people thought would be pretty big, Cleveland versus Pittsburgh, the rematch. Would it go way of the Cleveland Browns, or would the Pittsburgh Steelers come out on top? Well, a former Brown had his say.
Mayfield again in the shotgun, gets the snap, throws a pass, and the pass is intercepted, and that's Joe Hayden, the former Brown. He's at the 45, he's at the 50, he takes a dive at the 45, and you can put this one in the history books. What a fitting end for Joe Hayden, the former Browns, a former number one pick. The ball was intended for the Browns receiver in the middle of the field, and that was Landry, and the Steelers play takeaway. And Heinz Field is in a frenzy.
There it is, WDVE Radio. Joe Hayden with the pick. And the Steelers win a 20-13 after the game. Freddie Kitchens was talking about, well, you know what, a T-shirt he wore on Friday to a movie, the Mr. Rogers movie, with his daughters that said, Pittsburgh started it all. And after the game, members of the Steelers are like, hey, man, we saw that shirt. That made us turn it up a notch. Freddie Kitchens, though, says, my shirt? No way.
The T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I'd put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, you know. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
Well, the T-shirt itself didn't cause you to lose games, but wearing that T-shirt fired up your opponent to a different level, and they went out there and they made sure that you paid for that one. The Steelers lose 20-13. Freddie Kitchens versus Andy Reid. It's the difference in why some coaches are Hall of Famers like Andy Reid should be one day, and why some coaches are no-famers like Freddie Kitchens will be at the end of this season. Steelers now move to 7-5 as they win 20-13 over the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Speaking of the great state of Ohio, oh my goodness, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Second and goal from the 5. Two receivers go out to the left. Dalton catches a shotgun snap. He hands it off to Mixon, and Joe Mixon charges straight ahead and takes it into the end zone.
The Cincinnati Bengals, for the first time this season on WLW Radio, are winners. That's right. We're winners, Dad. We're winners. The Cincinnati Bengals, they beat the Jets. I don't know if that really counts as a win. 22-6, the final in that one. The Jets coming off that huge win over a good Oakland team. And then goes out and absolutely jets it up against the Bengals, and they lose that game by a score of 22-6. The Jets can't even find their way into the end zone. Great day for local kid Drew Locke, who started his first NFL game, and man, he had two great moments.
Shotgun time for Locke, pressure on him. Throws the fade for Cortland Sutton. Sutton makes a diving effort, and he hauls it in for a Denver touchdown.
There it is on KOA, Drew Locke's first passing touchdown in the NFL. Oh, he wasn't done.
Locke avoids a rush, throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
There it is, his second touchdown. Two touchdown passes on the day for Drew Locke. The Denver Broncos win in, I don't want to say kind of miraculous fashion, but kind of miraculous fashion. They kick a field goal at the end to win 23-20. And there was a pass interference play at the end of the game against the Chargers. And Drew Locke was talking about it to CBS afterwards. He goes, man, I just thought it was like a 10-yard, 15-yard penalty like in college. And I realized, oh, my goodness, we get the ball at the spot, and we're going to have an opportunity to win this football game. And that's what the Denver Broncos did for only the fourth time this season. The Denver Broncos do come out on top 23-20 over the Los Angeles Chargers. And it's safe to say that the Los Angeles Chargers are done. D-U-N, done. Are the Los Angeles Chargers. That's why you can't buy into these teams that everybody thinks, oh, look at this team is going to be good or that team is going to be good. No, no, no. You got to go with the proven commodity. The Chargers weren't that. And then to top it all off, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wentz takes the snap. He backpedals. He looks. He is running, pumping, firing, and it is complete. Touchdown! J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with his first NFL touchdown.
Who?
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
I've never heard of that
never
person.
Never heard of me either.
Who?
Wentz takes the snap. He backpedals. He looks. He is running, pumping, firing, and it is complete. Touchdown! J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with his first NFL touchdown.
I don't know who that is, but he scored his first NFL touchdown, and it was called brilliantly by Merrill Reese. In Philadelphia on WIP radio. So there it is, Sproles in the backfield. And the Philadelphia Eagles now, man, I'll tell you what, they had an opportunity to win that game, and they lost to the Miami Dolphins yesterday. They had an opportunity to win that game and create a tie for first with the Dallas Cowboys and create a possible showdown on Sunday Night Football. Like, there was talk around Arrowhead Stadium yesterday that had the Eagles won that game, the Chiefs and Bears would have been bumped off of Sunday Night Football on the 22nd, and the Eagles and Cowboys would have been moved on to that slot on Sunday Night Football because of the way that those teams were possibly battling for the division. And now it doesn't look like that is going to be the case, and that game still is penciled in for a afternoon start. And there was talk yesterday that if the Eagles would have won that game, the Chiefs would have been kicked off of Sunday Night Football with the Bears late in the season, and the Dallas Cowboys-Philadelphia Eagle game would have been on there instead. So let's take a look at that playoff picture right now. Baltimore and New England are the top two seeds right now in the AFC, and you're looking at a New England team that lost last night to the Houston Texans, now waiting for the Kansas City Chiefs to beat them on Sunday up in Foxborough. So the Ravens and the Patriots are your top two seeds. The Steelers are the sixth seed right now. The Bills are the five seed. The Chiefs are the four seed. And the Houston Texans come in right now as the number three seed. The AFC's got some really good teams with some really great quarterbacks. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson as your top four seeds in the AFC right now. My goodness, think about that. Think about that right now in the AFC. Looking at those four quarterbacks playing in the postseason, how excited is the NFL? And then with the possibility, obviously, of Buffalo getting in and having Josh Allen, another young, good quarterback in there, and then the Steelers got some Duck Hunter or something as their quarterback, like their third-string quarterback. Mike Tomlin, I said it last week, and I'll say it again, coach of the year in the NFL. Coach of the year in the NFL right now. With the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers have rolled through quarterbacks, they're on their third string quarterback this year, and they have a playoff spot tied up right now. That's pretty darn impressive. And I think, you know what, Ryan Tannehill gets your comeback player of the year, because the Tennessee Titans right now beating Indianapolis the way that they did 31-7 yesterday, that team absolutely turned it around when Ryan Tannehill came in and started playing for the Tennessee Titans. So they're not out of the thick of things right now. They're probably the only team on the outside looking in that has a chance, in my opinion, to make it into the postseason. The Raiders at 6-6 have no chance. The Colts at 6-6 are fading very, very fast, and everybody else is behind them. So I think the Tennessee Titans are a team to kind of look at from the outside looking in. Pittsburgh may be concerned about them a little bit. The Texans could be concerned about them a little bit. I think the Texans and Titans still play two more times going down the stretch of the season in the last 4 weeks. So a lot can be determined in the AFC South. And in the NFC, your playoff picture, 49ers one, Saints are number two. I believe they play next week, the 49ers and Saints, if I'm not mistaken. The 49ers could be the fifth seed by the time tonight's over, because if the Seahawks beat the Vikings, they'll be 10-2 with the head-to-head. The 49ers will move back to the fifth seed, and the Seahawks Seahawks will move into that one seed in the NFC. The Packers are your third seed. The Dallas Cowboys still get an opportunity to be in as the fourth seed, and the Vikings right now, the sixth seed in the NFC. So the playoff race is getting exciting. It's getting exciting. It's getting exciting in the NFL. And right now, the Chiefs are playing some really, really, really good football. Coming up, we'll hear a little bit from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid after the game yesterday. But if you know the player of the game that the guys gave to you on the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, 913-576-7610, and you could win $25 in Topper's Pizza if you know who that player is. We'll tell you who it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
All right, back at it on a Victory Monday here on 610 Sports Radio, celebrating a big Chiefs win from yesterday. And coming up in about 15 minutes, I'm going to say something that I didn't think I'd be saying at this point of the season about this football team. We'll do it in about 15 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio. But as you know, every single postgame show here on 610 Sports Radio, the guys from Arrowhead Pride, Jay Binkley as well, and they give you a player of the game. In fact, I was listening to them yesterday driving home from the game. Pete Sweeney's mom actually gave you the player of the game yesterday. If you know who that is, grab a phone line, 913-576-7610. Brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry. Pete's mom gave you that player yesterday. And if you know who it is, you'll get $25 to Topper's Pizza. If you get it wrong, it rolls over to next week and keeps rolling over until somebody wins. Every winner will also be qualified for a grand prize of a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month. John and KCK, do you know who Pete Sweeney's mom told you about yesterday?
Travis Kelce.
It is not Travis Kelce. I am sorry, you are wrong about that. Got to be listening to the show. Just can't take a guess, man. You got to tune into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The guy that they were talking about yesterday and the player that she gave you yesterday was Juan Thornhill. Juan Thornhill was the Arrowhead Pride player of the game, and as he should be. I mean, Juan Thornhill was pretty darn good yesterday.
He was really good yesterday.
Not only did he have the big interception return for a touchdown, they call that a pick six, but he also had a really, I think, important play. I think it was in the second quarter with 9:53 to go, fourth and one for the Raiders at the 40-yard line, and they tried to get a yard, and Juan Thornhill came up from that safety spot, and he made a play, and he tackled that dude behind the line of scrimmage, and the Chiefs took over, and you know what they did after that big play? They went right down the field and scored a touchdown and made it 14-0, and that's why they won that football game yesterday. Not because they put up spectacular numbers on offense and not because Tyreek Hill had, you know, an 87-yard touchdown or Patrick Mahomes threw for 350 yards and four scores. None of that happened yesterday. The Chiefs won in a way that I think if you would have told people before the game how it was going to go, most people wouldn't think that the Kansas City Chiefs were going to win this football game. Patrick Mahomes did not have 200 yards passing. They had one play over 20 yards. Tyreek Hill was, for the most part, a non-factor in the game. Not much of a rushing day, but they would score 40 points and win 40-9. They did it because they took advantage of opportunities, and Juan Thornhill created multiple opportunities. Juan Thornhill, when you think about it, guys, think about this for a second. Juan Thornhill, rookie Juan Thornhill, who ultimately was a pick they received from the Rams for Marcus Peters. Juan Thornhill yesterday was responsible for 14 points in that game for the Kansas City Chiefs. The pick six and then the big fourth down stop that the Chiefs turned into a touchdown when Patrick Mahomes went in from 13 yards out. And I think when Patrick Mahomes went in from 13 yards out and ran that ball in, you kind of looked around and looked at your buddy next to you and you went, damn, he's healthy. Oh, my. Look at Patrick Mahomes calling his own number, running it in from 13 yards out. Yeah, baby. Patrick's back. And then after the game, Patrick was asked, is that a design play?
I mean, I'm not like trying to call him out, but Tyreek, he didn't run the right route. He would have had a touchdown. So, I mean, he was supposed to run a little swing route down the sideline is what I said to him. And I told him, if he didn't want the touchdown, I'll take it. And so he didn't run it the right way, but we found a way to get a touchdown.
And that's another example of taking advantage of an opportunity, because in a situation like that where the wide receiver runs the wrong route, a lot of quarterbacks would have just thrown that thing away, maybe taken a sack, ran out of bounds, scrambled and fell down, whatever the case may be, but not Patrick Mahomes. And that's the difference between Patrick Mahomes and other quarterbacks in this league right now. Like, I don't know, the guy they faced yesterday in Derek Carr. We're looking at Patrick Mahomes, and we're looking at a player who took advantage of an opportunity, just one of the opportunities that was presented to the Chiefs yesterday. He looked around and said, oh, no, Tyreek, what are you doing? You're running the wrong route. Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm going to make something out of this. He ran the wrong route, but I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, and I'm going to run it in. I'm going to test this knee. I'm going to run in from 13 yards out. And he's looking down there, and he sees nothing but green, and he sees that pylon on the goal line, and he sees all the Raiders to the far right. And what does Patrick do? He rolls out and, boom, sprints for the end zone and is able to get in the end zone and to score a touchdown and put the Chiefs up 14-0 at that point in time. And that, to me, is another example of taking advantage of opportunity that the Chiefs did yesterday. Another way they took advantage of an opportunity was on their first touchdown drive of the game. 11 plays, 46 yards, the little wheel route to Williams for the touchdown. A flag was thrown on that play, but ultimately the flag was picked up, and it was because of an opportunity that Patrick Mahomes saw.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily talked him out of it. I try to plead my case no matter what happens, but all I kind of said was we had kind of designed the play, and we knew the defense that we were going to get. And we knew that they were going to kind of run at the line of scrimmage. And we had told to Kels, if he's at the line of scrimmage, you can kind of give him a little chip. And so he did that, and that was a rule. So whenever the refs conferred with each other, they were able to come about that with each other when they both saw that, and they realized that it was a legal play.
So that's another advantage that the Chiefs have, and another situation where they took advantage of an opportunity. They knew exactly what Oakland was going to do on that first touchdown drive. They knew exactly, because they did their homework, they put in the work, they studied, they knew Oakland's defense yesterday better than Oakland knew their defense yesterday. And as soon as that play happened, exactly what they said was going to happen happened. Travis made the block. They knew the ref was going to throw the flag on that, but they knew from where they were standing, where they were lined up, where Travis was on the field, that it was a legal block. And because they did the homework and they knew what they were going to do, and the opportunity was there to take advantage of, the Kansas City Chiefs took advantage of that opportunity. Again, the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and, well, John Gruden and Derek Carr. Like, this team just over-prepared for the Oakland Raiders to the point where they knew what the Oakland Raiders were going to do on defense on that play. They knew what Kelce was going to do. They knew that a flag would be called, and they knew how to argue and dispute that call. And if Patrick Mahomes doesn't argue and dispute that call, maybe a touchdown is taken off the board. That's preparation. That's opportunity. And that's cashing in on opportunity and cashing in on preparation. And that's something that the Kansas City Chiefs did better yesterday than maybe they've done all season long. The last time I remember them really taking advantage of preparation and opportunity was that Baltimore Ravens game. They knew exactly how they were going to ice that game. They knew the play that they were going to call, the play that they were going to run. They were all ready for it, and they were able to go out there and ice the game on that screen pass that finished off the Baltimore Ravens back in, what was it, week 3 of this NFL season. And yesterday, they took advantage of another opportunity because they knew what was going to happen because they put in the work. Nobody's going to outwork these guys. Nobody's going to outprepare these guys. And nobody's going to be more ready to win a football game than the Kansas City Chiefs are. And nobody is going to take advantage of an opportunity like the Kansas City Chiefs did yesterday against the Oakland Raiders. Now, will the opportunities be there this weekend in New England? I don't know. Will they be there against Baltimore in the postseason? I don't know. Will they be there against Buffalo in the postseason? I don't know the answers to those questions. But what I do know is that if an opportunity is there and the Chiefs have a chance to stab you in the heart and then twist that knife and let you bleed out, they are going to do that. They are going to do that. Will they be there? That's the million-dollar question. But if the opportunities are there, the Chiefs will take advantage of them, much like we've seen New England do for the last 20 years. We're seeing Baltimore take advantage of these opportunities that they've been presented to them. This is the difference between being a good team and a great team and a great team and a Super Bowl contender. When your opponent makes a mistake, you punch them in the throat and you take advantage of that opportunity. And the Chiefs did that on so many different occasions yesterday, from Juan Thornhill to Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce to Andy Reid. Every single person that had an advantage and an opportunity to take advantage of that opportunity, they went out there and they seized the day. It was like carpe diem for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, and that led them to have that almost perfect game, in my opinion, yesterday. Offense was good, defense was magical, and special teams was really good yesterday. That's the type of game you're going to have if you want to win games in the postseason. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, I can't believe what I'm about to say, and we do it next.
Fesco in the morning.
It is a Victory Monday. Nothing better than a Victory Monday here on 610 Sports Radio. Nothing better than a Victory Monday in Kansas City. It really does make your day go a heck of a lot better, doesn't it, when you win these games? Feeling good, sitting at 8-4, just about ready to wrap up the division. A win this week against the New England Patriots and a loss by the Oakland Raiders to whatever team they're playing will give the Chiefs the AFC West for the fourth consecutive year, and that's pretty darn impressive. So the Chiefs get a win, the Raiders get a loss this coming week, and the division is ours for the fourth year in a row. The Raiders, who do they have this week?
Going against Tennessee.
That's right, Tennessee at the Raiders. Good luck.
We'll need it. We will need it.
Good luck.
Raiders have just been miserable the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're playing a Tennessee Titans team that has a pretty darn good running back. And I think Tennessee's playing some really good football right now. And you're looking at a Raiders team that has been outscored 74-12 in the last 2 weeks. I mean, this was a Raider team that all the national nitwits thought was going to contend for the AFC West. Oh, look at all the Raiders. I mean, there was a guy yesterday from one of the national networks. We were talking about it in the elevator. I'm like, yeah, this game never should have been flexing. Well, the Raiders were never good. You cover this sport for a living. Like, you follow the NFL week in and week out, and you thought 2 weeks ago the Raiders had a chance? Like, you honestly believe that the Raiders had a chance 2 weeks ago to be in this division race with the Chiefs? No, there was no way that the Raiders had a chance to be in the division race with the Kansas City Chiefs. And they've shown who they are. They are who we thought they were. A 74-12 difference in the last two games to the Jets, who lost to the Bengals yesterday. And then, of course, to the Chiefs, putting up a 40 spot on Oakland yesterday. So the Titans and Raiders play at 4:25 Eastern time, and the Patriots and Chiefs play at 4:25 Eastern time on Sunday. And so by the time 7 o'clock rolls around in the Central time zone, we'll know if the Chiefs are the AFC West champions or not. Now, for me, I'm looking at this obviously with some Chiefs glasses on, but I'm also looking at this from a what have you done for me lately deal. And Tom Brady, quite honestly, has not been that good over the last couple of weeks when you look at his numbers. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last 4 or 5 games or so, Tom Brady has thrown 5 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. That's not exactly a great rate, and he's completing only like 59% of his passes or so. So Tom Brady is not playing good football right now. I think the Chiefs right now, from a defensive back standpoint, from stopping the pass, are playing as good as they've played all season. I thought they were spectacular yesterday playing against Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders from a pass defense standpoint. And that's why when I look at this matchup on Sunday, Chiefs are winning this football game. The Chiefs are a 3.5-point underdog right now But this is where the run of New England's success against Kansas City comes to an end. This is the time for the team to beat the Patriots, and they will do it. The Chiefs will go to Foxborough, and they will get a win because I think they are the better team from top to bottom right now than the New England Patriots. Now, Bill Belichick is a huge wild card and a huge X factor in all this. The Patriots are like 36-4 at home in the month of December in their history in Gillette Stadium, so they're really good there. But I think right now, for New England, all good things must come to an end. And this is where your reign of terror over the National Football League comes to an end. The Kansas City Chiefs will go up there. They will beat the New England Patriots. And all of a sudden, the Patriots will not be a lock to have a bye in the first weekend of the postseason. Now, do I still think they're the odds-on favorite to get a bye? Yeah, I do, but it's not going to come easy. And this isn't the Patriots team that we've seen in years past. This is a Patriots team right now, quite honestly, has a lot of holes. Look, they're still good defensively, and they scare the daylights out of me from a defensive standpoint. But from an offensive standpoint, they are not playing good right now at all. And this Chiefs defense, in my opinion, is starting to peak, and they're starting to play better, and they're starting to look better, and they're feeding off of each other, and they're making plays, and they're stopping the passing game. Man, I think this is a perfect opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs to go to New England and end this nonsense. And with the Texans beating the Patriots last night, they do a lot of similar things that the Chiefs do, and Patrick Mahomes took note.
Watching the Texans film is very it works out very well for us because they have a lot of those same receivers and running backs and guys that can make plays, and Deshaun who can scramble around and make a lot of these big-time throws. And so it's good. It's going to be good tape for us to see how they go about that.
And there was a play last night that gave the Texans the win where Deshaun Watson was the guy who scored the touchdown, but it was optioned to him by two different players. And it was just an insane, insane play around the goal line. And Deshaun Watson was like the option back from DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins flips him the ball, and he scores. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty darn impressive. That shows that this Patriots defense has the ability to be exploited a little bit. And that's why I think the Kansas City Chiefs, with their offense and their playmakers, and hopefully Darwin Thompson picking up where he left off yesterday, that can be an offense that rolls into New England and beats them and sends a message that you may be on top right now, but we're coming for you. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming for the New England Patriots, and I believe they get it done this weekend in New England. Not just, you know, losing by one and covering the spread or something. No, they win outright in this football game. I think this is the time to go up to New England and do so. I think they are ripe for the picking right now.
Yeah, they're vulnerable right now. The Patriots, they do not look good. And the way that the defense has been playing for the Chiefs these past 2 weeks, or the past 3 weeks, bye week two weeks ago,
yeah.
this is a different looked Chiefs team.
It is.
They've hit their stride. I feel like this is the sky's limit for them right now.
And Patrick Mahomes agrees.
You know, I think you've seen it week by week. The defense getting better. The special team made great plays today. And then the offense, I mean, we're just playing with the flow of the game. I mean, we've been in every type of football game, it seems like now. And just trying to find ways to win each and every game because every game flow is different. And I feel like today it's about letting the defense eat and us taking the opportunities to score when we can.
And that's exactly what they did. It was the defense's day to shine, and the offense came along for the ride yesterday and capitalized on the opportunities that were set up by the defense. And Andy loves what he's seeing right now.
I think Spags done a nice job. I mean, the coordinators, I thought, put together a nice game plan. He'd be on offense and Dave on the special team side. And then Spags on the defensive side, and the guys they're into it. The young guys are gaining experience as we go. We still have plenty of room to improve, but we're seeing improvement every week. So that's a plus, but we got to keep our, you know, foot to the pedal there and keep pushing.
So that's Andy talking about some of the younger players getting involved, from Juan Thornhill to Darwin Thompson yesterday. Rashad Fenton had a big day for this team. So a lot of things are moving in the right direction and where you want them to be as the calendar turns into December and the final quarter of the season is here. Time for the big finish. It comes from our guy, Mike DeVito, former Chiefs defensive lineman, joined us earlier in the show. You can check out that entire interview at the on-demand section at 610sports.com. And he talked about this Chiefs defense playing at a level that we haven't seen in quite some time.
Kansas City's defense right now is built for them to be 10 to 14 points ahead because they're so explosive and they're so fast. And you have these guys that are incredibly good at running sideline to sideline, making big plays in the backfield. And so they're a team that can stop the run, right? And they did a great job of that yesterday. You saw them, you know, Oakland coming in there. They want to run the football. Chris Jones, right at the beginning of the game, does a great job on a double team, makes a play in the backfield. So they look really stout against the run. But you don't want them to have to slow down to worry about playing the run.
So that's Mike DeVito talking about, don't worry about the run defense. The offense is getting better. They're going to go out there and score 14-plus points and have an early lead in the game. And then worrying about the defense, don't worry about it. They're going to be just fine. And I kind of think they are as well. They're playing really good football right now. It's been fun to watch them play. And what they did yesterday, man, creating opportunities for the offense. Hey, that's what it's all about. Kling is back tomorrow. Coming up, Jay Binkley with you until 2 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.